Hi, good Moed, everybody. This is Yisachar Wartel again. Had a bunch of different thoughts about Sukkot that I'd like to share with you. Some are my own, some belong to others, and I'll try and mention them by name. So the first thing is something that I thought about last year, combination of my own thoughts and actually some other quasi insights indirectly from the Zohar, that as we know, the four the Arba Minim coming together of the Yud-Kei and Vav-Kei, the four holy letters of Hashem's name. There's also some symbolism about the four walls of the sukkah, and each are the two essential mitzvot of Sukkot. There's essentially two mitzvot of Sukkot. And as we know, Sukkot is kind of a balance holiday, if you will, that it symbolizes, as the Zohar and other sources teach, it symbolizes Tiferet, which is a combination of the balance of Chesed and Gvura, or alternatively, Rachamim and Gvura, and which also parallels many, many other things, including Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, where Yaakov is Tiferet, who is also a balance. There's many, many, many different mafarshim. We talk about that. It also symbolizes, it's the three regalim also symbolizes three pillars of a stool, and also many, many other sets of three, including Torah, Avodah, and Gemilut Chasadim, which something I may have spoken to you about last week. I do not recall, but that with that, with that, sorry, Gemilut Chasadim kind of combines multiple elements, and for various different reasons, it's also kind of a balance because it kind of combines elements of. Ben Adam Mamako and Ben Adam Mechavero, even though it's really mostly Ben Adam Mechavero focused, and for various different reasons, and it's a little difficult to get into in such a short period of time, but Sukkot also kind of parallels Gemilut Chasadim, which actually is kind of a balance of different forces, and also ties into Yaakov, and all of these things kind of run infinitely deep as kind of this tripod, if you will, which parallels the Shlosh Regalim. That being said, there's various different inyanim of Sukkot having kind of a multiple or a duality, if you will, not just of respecting a balance, but kind of ending the whole season, whether it be the season of from Elul and Rosh Hashanah going into Sukkot, Shmini Atzeret, or just the entire agricultural season starting around Pesach time. Ending around Sukkot with the harvest, and then going into, we'll call it, the post-Chagim phase with respect to the Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, etc., or the post-agricultural phase going into the winter and now praying for rain. So there is kind of this duality that we're dealing with here, that we're praying for rain, but we don't really want rain on Sukkot, and there's a lot of different inyanim related to that. So what I wanted to suggest is that the two mitzvot that we specifically have on Sukkot is actually they're almost opposite but complementary in nature. The Arba Minim, when we hold them together, we're taking them from within ourselves, we have them close to our body, and we bring them outward. We shake them outward, we bring them outward in all six directions, right? So we're going from the inside out. Conversely, we have the Sukkot, which is around us and kind of envelops us inward, right? It's an external thing which is brought inward, and we sit inside of it. So it's brought from the outside in. So there's kind of like this reflective dynamic, which is an essence of completion, which is something that we're actually trying to perfect, right? We kind of perfected ourselves, and as I actually heard at a shiur earlier today or tonight, part of the function of Sukkot is really taking it to the next level. We've kind of perfected our spiritual selves as best we can, relating from a purely spiritual world. We abstain from the physical on Yom Kippur. But now we need to implement and connect the spiritual world to our physical world and elevate the physical world spiritually by making our physical actions, eating, sleeping, dwelling, all of those things, and raise them up to a higher level, which is something we do in Sukkot. So we're kind of going to the next level, which we can then carry into the year. So it's kind of like a perfect fit of two different pieces. Not exactly a yin and a yang, but kind of you're fitting two different pieces to create a balance, which, as I said, is Tiferet, and then hopefully in that merit we can then bring rain. The second thought that I would like to share is one that I had actually heard from Rabbi Shmuel Silber this past Shabbos, quoting loosely quoting the Tanya, where he was saying We have Arba Minim, but clearly one, you know, stands out as in a certain sense being more chashiv, which is the etrog. It has both a taste and a smell. It's the only one that does not have to be bound with the other three, at least according to Rehuda. It's kept separately. It has it's generally a lot more expensive. There's a lot of inyanim about the etrog that make it kind of distinct from the other three minim, that the other three plants that we use. It's also the only one that's a fruit as opposed to leaves. There's a lot of things about the etrog. So, you know, what makes the etrog special? I mean, other than the fact that obviously it's himself. So it's also the first one listed, by the way. Priyei Tzedar is the first one listed of the four. So the Tanya teaches that we know that the among the many, many different things that the Arba Minim represent are the parts of the body. And, you know, we have the eyes, which are the Hadassim. We have the lips, which are the Aravot. We have the spine, which is the lulav, and we have the heart, which is the etrog. The other three things can unfortunately fail in our lifetime. The heart can't fail, or we cease to exist in the physical world, right? Our eyes, God forbid, we can lose our sight. Our mouth, God forbid, we can lose the ability to speak or taste. Our spine, we can, God forbid, become paralyzed. But we have to have our heart. But more than that, what the Tanya says is that what's special about the etrog is that it can last from year to year. That's why we call it a pre-other. That's how the Chachamim knew, I mean, other than Chachamosh Mesinai, that it's a pre-other. It lasts from year to year, from season to season, from climate to climate. It goes through harsh winters. It goes through rough, hot summers, and it's able to withstand different things. So too, in our hearts, we have the ability to withstand the ups and downs of life. We have the ability to withstand the harsh climates of life. It's within us as human beings. It's within us as Jews to be able to do, that we can withstand the difficulties of life, the ups and downs, the harsh winters, the rough summers, all the changes and ups and downs in life, that we can kind of be like the etrog, right? And obviously, that's what we want to aspire to be, you know. Reality, we're a mix of all different kinds of people. We are, some of us are the Aravim, some of us are the Aravim, some of us are the Hadassim, some of us are the Lulav, but we want to aspire to be the Etrog, not just because it represents, you know, Torah, Mitzvot, and you know, kindness, and, you know, also, which is also, by the way, that itself is a combination of Bein Adam Mechavero and Bein Adam, and Bein Adam, and Bein Adam Omakom. I apologize about that. My roommate was trying to get my attention. So as I was saying, the etrog also kind of represents both of those things. And therefore, it's something we want to take into account. We want to aspire to be the etrog in all different respects. We want to have a taste. We want people to not spend money on us in a physical sense, but we want people to pay attention to us, and we want to be an example. We want to be that, if, for lack of a better term, shining yellow beacon that people aspire to. But it's also not just about us, because ultimately it's not all about the etrog, even though that's, in a certain sense, the most important thing. We want to be bound together, all together. We have to hold all four together as you're not Yosef. You have to pick them up and raise them up. So it's our obligation, even if we are the etrog, we have to raise ourselves up with the all other types of Jews, all other types of people, right, whether they're Hadassim, Aravot, or Aluav. And we have to aspire, and then we can move our way on all whatever direction of life, any of the six directions, wherever our life takes us, wherever we are in the world, so that we can aspire to really hope to make a difference and to try and lead to a balanced world where we are able to elevate the physical world, spiritually speaking, and raise the physical to the spiritual level so that we can have our world, our physical world, infused with more spirituality, and that people can recognize it. And that we can really be who we are, and we can take the Chagim, which we just had, and we can use it as a time to really shape ourselves and to really reflect upon what we've just done for the last month or so and carry it with us throughout the next year. So Shabbat Shalom and Good Moed and Chag Sameach to everybody.